Hello, everyone. Welcome to Science Unscripted. It's Connor here.
And Sam, you're sounding spooky today.
Yeah, we've got a different kind of topic today. Well, isn't that lovely?
Oh, God, I just have chills all down my spine.
So that is the sound of lots of people dying fictionally in some major motion pictures, some historical ones in there as well. Probably some of the big horror fans out there or slasher fans will recognize some of those screams. Sam, as I just found out about 5 minutes ago, you're a fan of horror movies? You watch them in your free time?
Yeah, you know, I don't watch them very much anymore, but I did love them growing up as a teenager.
How old were you?
I think probably started watching them around like 11, 12. And then, yeah watched them throughout high school. You'd usually get together with some friends and you'd all get freaked out and have a sleepover or something. But I really enjoy being scared, especially when I know, obviously, that it's fictional.
Exactly. Yeah, I went through a phase where I was, we have a lot of old pictures of me when I was younger, where I was wearing a Jason Voorhees mask. You know, it looks like a hockey mask. And I just thought that was a fun thing to wear around.
Oh, not just for a Halloween costume.
No. Like playing the piano and, you know, when one would typically wear such a mask.
All right.
No, and then, yeah, also some parties with, I used to pick out the worst horror movies I could find.
Ooh, like what?
The Leprechaun series. I don't know if it goes into Leprechaun in space. It gets really, really ridiculous. Chucky movies.
Okay, sure.
With a, you know,
yep.
Wait a minute. There's no battery in him. I was into him for a while. And I think a lot of our listeners out there have probably enjoyed some films like that as well. And I was genuinely surprised to find that according to a new study, partially conducted in the U.S., also in Denmark, that people who consume this kind of content, this kind of fiction, fans of horror movies and the horror genre, are apparently dealing better with the pandemic.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Let's let Colton Scrivener answer that question. He is a behavioral psychologist researcher, and he was one of the guys behind this new study.
Science Unscripted.
Hi, my name is Colton Scrivener. I'm a PhD student at the University of Chicago, and I study the psychology of morbid curiosity. And recently, my colleagues and I have conducted a study to see if horror fans or morbidly curious people are coping better with the pandemic.
Okay, so let's get into it. Are people who are fans of horror content, are they doing better or worse in the pandemic?
In some ways, they seem to be doing better. So people who are horror fans are reporting fewer symptoms of psychological distress during the pandemic. So fewer signs of anxiety and depression, sleeplessness.
And how did you go about studying this in people who say that they like this kind of fiction?
Well, we were inspired by a science journalist who asked us pretty directly if horror fans were doing better during the pandemic. So we thought it was a great idea. And so we surveyed about 300 people and asked them about their genre preferences and how they were dealing with the pandemic.
How could they be dealing better with the pandemic just because they watch horror films or read horror novels? What's going on there?
Well, what we think is happening, or at least one thing that might be happening, is that people who engage with frightening fiction often are sort of used to feeling anxious and afraid in a safe setting. And so they sort of learn how to overcome those feelings. And the idea is that then when they encounter fear or anxiety or uncertainty in the real world, they have the tools ready to overcome that.
So literally by watching, I don't know, Jason Voorhees, Freddy Krueger, I'm preparing myself for what we're experiencing right now in 2020.
You're probably not going into the movie thinking I need to prepare for some future disaster. But, you know, you're sort of unconsciously practicing those emotion regulation skills and rehearsing sort of emotional and behavioral strategies for certain situations.
Did you have a way to see in your data, did it depend on the kind of horror film? I mean, there is a big difference between Freddy Krueger slashing people and a zombie apocalypse. Is one better than the other for preparing for something like the coronavirus?
That's a good question. So in our paper, what we found were that people who were fans of what we called prepper genres. So these are people who are fans of like zombie films, apocalyptic films, alien invasion, you know, some event where there's a catastrophe and the world's sort of in chaos. Those people were also feeling more prepared for the pandemic. So in addition to fewer symptoms of psychological distress, they reported that they felt sort of prepared when the pandemic hit.
You mentioned the term morbid curiosity, which I find really interesting. What is it exactly? What does morbid curiosity mean?
Well, in really simple terms, it's sort of a motivation to learn about dangerous or threatening situations or phenomena.
But you're saying you view morbid curiosity in a good way, or it's a good thing, as opposed to, I would argue, most people thinking of morbid curiosity as something kind of negative.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, if you think about it, a lot of psychological traits can be good or bad depending on their magnitude, right? So if you have too much of something, it's typically bad. If you have too much anxiety, it's typically bad. But a little bit of anxiety is good. It kind of keeps you on your toes. It keeps you alert. And I think something similar is happening with morbid curiosity. So if you have too much of it, you know, and it's disrupting your life, that could be bad. But a little bit may not be a bad thing.
My studio technician, who may have a dose of morbid curiosity himself, has just written the words Resident Evil on one of the screens here, which is a video game.
Yes.
Any way to see whether playing, you know, actively engaging in these sort of apocalyptic, violent, gruesome scenarios would even better prepare you than, say, passively sitting on the couch and eating popcorn and watching a film that scares your pants off?
Great question. You know, that's actually something that our team is investigating in the coming months, is there a difference if it's a video game or a film or a book? And I think that with video games, it could at least help as much as a film and maybe more. I think the key is the extent to which you're sort of engaged in the narrative and feeling afraid and overcoming the fear. So if you need a video game to do that, then maybe that's better than a film. But not everyone maybe needs that much immersion in order to have the same benefits.
Colton, is Halloween kind of an expression of all of our morbid curiosity, our obsession with death and blood and some of the more gruesome aspects of our own imagination?
I think it's definitely a time of year when people feel free to express maybe their morbid curiosity without it feeling taboo, right? I mean, people feel free to dress up gruesomely or watch a lot of scary movies or go to haunted houses without feeling like they're weird or they're doing something they shouldn't be doing.
And did I understand one of the co-authors of this study correctly? You're right now you're in Denmark for the purpose of going to a haunted house?
Yeah, so I'm in Denmark all of October with the last author on the study, Mathias Klaesen. He and I and some other researchers are at Dystopia Haunted House in Vejle, Denmark, and we're researching how people play with fear in a haunted house.
Ooh, that sounds interesting. Any clues you can give us as to what exactly you're looking for in there?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at a couple of different things, but one thing we're looking at are the different kinds of horror fans there are. So, you know, people that go to a haunted house, yeah, there are some adrenaline junkies. I think that's a lot of people see that. But there are a lot of people who go to haunted houses who are not adrenaline junkies. And so we're trying to figure out what these other people get from the haunt. You know, the adrenaline junkies get the adrenaline rush, but what about the other people? And it kind of in line with our pandemic paper, we're starting to see that some people are feeling like they learned something about themselves after they go through the haunt.
And that was Colton Scrivener talking to us from Denmark, from somewhere close to a haunted house, originally from the University of Chicago, where he works.
And we'd love to hear from you about your experiences with scary things, scary movies, scary video games. You can get in touch with us at su@dw.com.
Science Unscripted.